Forza.
The Numerians or the Nonians.
A great and noble race of beings who called themselves the Krell.
Sounds like him, but usually he was more grounded.
Grounded, eh? Well, let's not speak of electrical connections here. But speaking of connections, now that I have a show of some sort here, a show that is going, a show that is happening, I feel no more tension, but rather relaxation, and the desire to relax even further. I suppose I'll do that in a very familiar way.
They would. They stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you when you're walking on the street. They'll stone your seat. They'll stone you when you're walking on the floor. They'll stone you when you're walking through the door.
Yeehaw.
But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. They'll stone you when you're at the breakfast table. They'll stone you when and able. They'll stone you when you're trying to make a buck. They'll stone you and then they'll say good luck. Yeah, but I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned.
are by one lane of traffic, but what you've got are four or five parallel lanes of traffic. So only one lane can read the signs anyway, since they are small and meant to be seen as you drive at 5 miles an hour along the right side of the road. But they keep it up. It's a tradition.
Those signs weren't completely destroyed by the angry Republican with the snowplow after I painted them and they were set up. They were collected in their knocked-down state and are still postable if my friends ever wanted to try it again.
Down where?
Down there.
Headless Point. In Hunter's Point.
Headless
Point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, start that again.
Yes, Headless Point. Heron's Head Park in Headless Point. With a real horse's head hanging over the door. Yes, there'll be a horse head in your bed if you don't
cooperate. I don't think we can use that in the shop.
Well, you can't say it on the show, dead horse, but no, you can't beat a dead horse.
You can't beat a dead horse on the show.
That's why, you know, we formed our own LLC.
But we do have our own black dog, our own horse to beat.
We're all
dead
addicted
horse.
To heroin, yes.
An ugly horse voice.
Dog, strictly
speaking, my meaning. No, I meant... What I was
when Gulliver came back from the land of the Houyhnhnms, the super intelligent horses who kept humans as slaves and pets, he had developed a fine accent and could whinny and neigh to all the horses in London. And he purchased some and preferred to be with them than with any human being, including his own poor wife and children. But the surgeon Gulliver, who was later the captain of several ships, all of which were lost in various catastrophes, or stolen or taken over by pirates, had enough of traveling, like Sinbad at the end of his last and final voyage. And we'll be telling you all about it. In the meantime, with eager anticipation, I await the arrival of David Normal.
It's likely a Communist Party.
He should be along fairly soon. But maybe he's giving me more time than I actually needed for Captain Sinbad.
If you're driving right now, you probably won't be reversed.
What about that movie, Captain Sinbad? Has anyone ever seen it? Not the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. Not silent movies with Douglas Fairbanks. No, this strange film had Guy Williams, who was familiar to viewers on Lost in Space and as Zorro for Walt Disney as the redoubtable Sinbad the Sailor. This movie is also distinguished by spelling Sinbad with the D, which was the original name shortened by generations of fabulists to Sinbad, as if the confluence of two words, sin and bad, had joined in the middle. He wasn't so bad, but he wasn't entirely good. If people have been paying attention to these accounts, for example, when he was washed up on the island and his companions died, he had a secret source of food, and he doesn't say what it was, but he didn't share it with them. And earlier, when he went to the people who bury you alive if your wife dies, because you must accompany her into death, while in the subterranean caverns, He killed a number of people who were lowered down because their spouses had died and took the small amount of food which they were allowed to take to the underworld. In this manner, he survived but was essentially a murderer. Yes, Sinbad at times was quite violent, and he killed the old man of the sea by smashing his head with a giant rock. However, he did the world a great service by depriving it of that particular monster.
It was the year I snuck Jodeo. And on the way back, we stopped at the gas station in...
gas station?
On 80. And the guy came over, the guy who was pumping the gas, and came out, was real nice, and turns out he looks at me and goes, "Are you with her?" I said, "Yeah, I know. Do you mind if I call it?" It was really funny. He was so serious. Like, ask the old guy.
Wow.
That was fun. Yeah, I just kind of made her like a little mess of trash in the back and went in. And nobody cared.
Jody,
I made her a little mess.
They rock and rolled in the trash?
No, no, I hid her as a piece of trash. Right behind my seat with on a sheet on her.
Right.
And she could be really tiny. She could pull it in. So, you know, it was really funny.
I did press the red button. To press the blue button is to cut everything off and to destroy your show. No, of course I pressed the red button. It's discouraging to write a full account of everything that was wrong and have it be dismissed by someone who didn't even read the email and say, well, just press the red button next time. I pressed it, and then it completely disappeared when the equipment completely malfed and the windows at the SAM broadcaster had nothing in them. No buttons, nothing, zip, zilch, zero. My God, what can I do under such circumstances? Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
This show, I suppose, is an acquired taste. We will broaden it, widen it. When David Normal gets here, he has recently ventured into poetic experimentation. Perhaps we shall hear some of his verses. I was with a group of poets, but I have lost the habit of going out to find them because of COVID, of course. The whole poetry gathering became a Zoom meeting. Do you have any idea how many Zoom meetings I have? I had one today. I'll have one tomorrow. And, ladies and gentlemen, my 50th show, the 50th Ask Dr. Hal show, the home edition, is about to take place, and not at the third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m., as usual. No, this show will be on July 5th, because that show will be on X Day. So, we're putting a special show together where all the entertainment that we usually add as garnish becomes the main event. We'll show cartoon after cartoon and monster movie after monster movie, interspersed with me answering questions from the audience, which I will charge nothing for. This whole show is free, and we'll have wonderful guests perform, beautiful singers and hilarious comedians, and all sorts of animation and digital foofaraw and pterodiddle. This is coming up at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, for free at www.askdrhal.com. Just go there, and one little button at the site is all you need to push and manipulate with your fumbling little fingers to take you into a world of unknown wonders and terrors, of savagery and splendor, and also wondering whether the whole thing is actually going to collapse under its own overcomplexity. But the people who work on the show work very hard on it, and I do my best to direct it. And this one is going to be one hell of a pain, and we'll derive no money from it. No one will be paying to ask questions. They can just ask him for free, and I'll answer him for free, because that's the kind of guy I am. Of course, it may be possible for some, in a spirit of generosity, beneficence, liberality, and charity, to send us some money anyway. But, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath. The whole idea is it's free, and it's free every time if you don't pay to play, if you are content to listen to other people ask questions and me answer them, and sometimes reward them with extra smidgens of performance. Then, why, this show is your oyster, your onion, your bonbon, your special treat. But if, on the other hand, you do desire to pay for this response from the digital interface concealing what is going on, Then go ahead, Pilgrim. We salute you. You are doing the right thing, attempting to weave gold out of straw. And according to some tradition, there are those who have succeeded in that particular objective. How goes the night, boy?
The moon is down. I haven't heard the clocks.
The clocks? You shall not hear them. Years ago, I murdered time and wiped my bloody blade upon his beard as he lay dying, with his mainsprings stuck out and his pendulum disintegrating. The cartoonists and I are doing a strip about a time demon. And this time we are supposed to show you scenes from the picture Blood Feast. Blood Feast, don't watch it.
Me, the Cobra Jewel.
It's terrible. Poorly made. Not good. Deliberate indulgence in ugly gore, which some have called gut smut. People who wish to see other humans torn to pieces and rendered. Particularly if they're beautiful girls in a semi-clothed state. This is my least favorite genre of all movies.
Hey, Michael Pepe.
And drugs. To think that the guy who made those things was a former English professor.
Do it.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Oops. He has many instincts is to examine during his own problem. Good and willing, but it's his own very toxic. However, other men didn't turn into monsters.
Like who?
Users are losers, and losers are users, so don't do drugs.
Don't use drugs, yeah, sure.
McGruff says take a bite out of crime.
Take a bite out of crime.
Yeah, that hurt.
Take a bite out of this.
Take a bite out of this. McGruff. Look, ugly dog.
Drug war.
Who took a bite out of these drugs?
Come on, baby. Eat the rich.
Well, he took a huge bite, and he got dog slobber and saliva all over these drugs around the bite.
A gigabyte out of this one.
It was a megabyte. Some would say a gigabyte.
Eat the bed. Eat the bed, baby.
Eat the rich. Eat the mattress. Chew the pillow.
No one should watch.
Are we going to have a bit? Is the show going to have
a strange thing happened. Not recently, but some time ago. I dreamed I was wounded in the arm, and when I awoke, my pillow was covered with blood, which had soaked through the pillowcase and still stains the pillow inside. What the hell does that indicate? It was not a tiny amount of blood, but enough to penetrate the pillowcase. As I say, where did it come from? It wasn't through my nose. It wasn't out of my mouth, was it? Was it out of my ears? All of those are terrible possibilities. But there's no doubt that it was there. Of course, sometimes perhaps I strain the dream world too often when I'm in it. I have offended its inhabitants before. And once I was supposed to be executed, and I only got out of that one by waking up. In fact, I get out of all sorts of things when I'm there just by waking up. I seem to have the ability to do that. When about to be devoured by a giant black fish. Actually, I don't know whether he was going to do it or not, but I decided I would wake up.
No, I didn't actually mean homeless people. This show is parody.
This show don't pull no drunkards. This show.
Why do they do that?
This show don't pull no drunkards. This show.
Why do they call it a mangle?
This show, don't pull no records, don't pull nothing but some genius special. This show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How can that possibly work out for
mankind?
Well,
some things need to be mangled and fast.
So we're going to start now with the mangling.
But actually, The Mangling by Stephen King, America's most popular
scary mangling.
A terrible movie, which has nothing to do with the short story.
It's a laundry machine called The Mangler, but it's somehow...
Well, he just liked the name Mangler, you know, being a horror writer. But no, The Mangler is something I think, believe that squashes the water out of your pants as they come out of them. I could be wrong, of course.
That's too much. That is...
Scientists are sending marijuana seeds to the moon.
That's one of his silly...
It doesn't surprise me a bit. I've always said they should do that.
Another one of his silly stories.
The versatile plant could, some scientists think, one day be useful for lunar and Martian colonists. Well, yes, sure.
I saw that.
Because this soil has never been exhausted by living things, and the gravity is less. These planets can grow big and tall. On the moon, they can grow absolutely enormous.
Wow. Wow.
Just as long as you give them enough water and some, but not too much, sunlight. The sunlight is intense up there. They don't have an atmosphere. It's really too strong for Earth plants, but you could always put it in a special semi-shaded dome. I mean, there's a way. Yes, scientists are sending cannabis seeds to space.
Just ask Joseph Lawnmower.
Yeah. Well, they go into a kind of...
The lawnmower...
You know, you'll clean it up.
He's in cyberspace with the computer.
The versatile cannabis plant could, some scientists think, one day be useful for lunar and Martian colonists. You bet it could. They're going to be bored to insanity in those places. Of course they'll need drugs. For now, researchers will subject its seeds to radiation in orbit and see what happens. Well, it also happens to the people who were there. On Monday, June 23rd, shortly after 9 p.m. UTC, hundreds of seeds, fungi, algae, and human DNA samples, many of which have never been exposed to space before, will make their maiden voyage across a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket.
Yeah, but that also means
launching from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California, the mission is hoping to be the first to send plant tissues and seeds into a polar low Earth orbit and back to allow these beetle-browed scientists to study how biological systems are affected by the harsh levels of radiation found high above Earth's poles. The information they glean, researchers hope, could one day help spacefarers grow crops on other planets. I have recommended it. I've been recommending it for years. The samples will travel in a small biological incubator called MayaSat-1, developed by the GenoPlant Research Institute, a Slovenian aerospace company specializing in space-based biological research. At an altitude above 500 kilometers, the incubator, housed inside a larger capsule, will cross zones near the North and South Poles where concentrations of charged particles emitted by the sun are high due to the Earth's magnetic field. When it passes through these regions, it will be exposed to up to 100 times more hard radiation than objects orbiting at similar attitudes around the equator, like the International Space Station. The capsule will orbit Earth three times in a mission lasting around 3 hours before entering the atmosphere and a splashdown in the Pacific Ocean. If all goes to plan, the incubator will be collected from a location around 9 hours off the coast of Hawaii and shipped back to Europe, where everybody will start smoking it up. Ah, our guest, David Normal, has arrived. Well, what I'm going to have to do here is see if it's possible to set him up on this defective, doddering, and deleterious equipment.
I got to see the tail end.
haystack, Calhoun. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It may harm me. Therefore, it was deleterious, eh?
Right.
Well, it does. This one doesn't work at all. I'm using this one. But what we need you to do is for me to turn up all the microphones.
Big time wrestling.
Yes,
it was all fake. Everyone knew it was fake.
Well, Philo admitted it's fake. It's devil tease.
Let's get this on the. Make yourself comfortable. But I'm going to listen while you talk into these microphones.
The men and women that do
Professor George Edward Challenger. We are speaking about the Lost World, the Challenger expedition to Maple Whiteland, that strange realm of living dinosaurs and other prehistoric creatures, some completely unknown to science, and malevolent ape men.
Did you see Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler?
Oh, yes!
There were malevolent ape men, however, they were treated very badly by the supposedly superior men. Oh, come on, Mr. Normal, just get yourself on a microphone, and we'll have macro fun talking about the Lost World.
Everybody,
maybe you might find the other chair more comfortable than that one.
Has to know that.
First, check out these mics, and we'll see if one of them works.
Movies that seem as
that's true. That's one of them.
We're listening to a show with Michael Pepe, but try one of the mics or another one.
What about this one?
Yeah, that seems to work. But try some of the others. They might come in louder, better. Try the others as long as you're over there. No, keep the headphones on and try.
Back in the day.
Because oh, you're going to try that other pair. You can't hear. I get it. Well, everything's, as I say, decrepit around here.
Hello?
TV movie guy.
Not that one.
This one?
That one. Try the other two.
I'm trying them all. I don't.
That one works.
Well, I don't really. I guess I hear myself.
Well, that's because the damned headphones don't work. Try that last one over there.
Music to what?
Hello? This one seems.
That one really works.
This one really works.
Yes. Are you hearing yourself through it, through the headphone?
Mostly.
The headphone wire can be traced to a little box, and where it plugs in that box is a knob that you can turn to increase or lower your volume. Does it work?
Yeah, I think it works.
Excellent. So now you are here as a guest indeed. We'll fade out the old show and create new show.
With the old and with the new.
Yes. Well, it's good that you can be here.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I was going to cut the show down early, as I often do, to go over and draw with the young cartoonists. But as it turns out, I'm not doing that tonight. So we don't have to worry about that at all.
Okay, well, the young cartoonists must be disappointed. I'm sure they're waiting eagerly, pen in hand.
They don't need me to do excellent cartoons. Oh, got to be careful about that. You see the way the base has a part that sticks forward?
Well, it's weighted.
Yes, it's weighted. It's poorly done, poorly set up, but now we have...
Here's a knob that doesn't do anything.
Well, stop twiddling that impotent knob, and just don't knock into it a second time.
Okay, I'm trying not to, but the microphones are very eager.
They're clustered around. See if you can gently move them away. We have one that actually works.
Debates in here?
Do who? I don't know if anybody debates anything.
Well, they were debating the existence of prehistoric creatures in the Amazon in the Lost World film.
Oh, yes.
That they were debating. Do they debate that here when you're not around?
Do you mean the Lost World film made by Irwin Allen?
It's from 1925. It's
that one. Oh, yes. The one directed by Harry Hoyt. Harry O. Hoyt.
Okay, I didn't take note of the director's name, but
well, it features Bessie Love and Wallace Beery and Lewis Stone as Lord John Roxton.
Yes, I remember the Lord John Roxton character.
One would always remember him.
Yes, I do. And
played by Michael Rennie in the Irwin Allen version.
I am still trying to adjust the microphone.
Yes, it's
set,
a
set very, very
yeah,
high.
Yeah, it's very high. The mic is high.
The mic is high, and I am low.
Maybe the chair, that high chair, would...
maybe like this will do. The microphone.
Move that high chair over there, or maybe this high chair could be moved over there.
No, it's enough. This is... It's a radio announcer's law. I'm not the announcer, but
you're
it's
coming
a radio
out fun. You're like a sportscaster. You're together tilted down so you can observe the action out there on the field.
There's quite a bit of action. I'm observing you at the controls.
Goodness gracious!
Yeah, you're taking a CD and.
Well, now we don't want to give away the backstage stuff to our avid and eager audience.
They're avid. They may be. I may be editing this with avid. Avid editing suite.
Got it for you.
I don't know if anybody would admit to having edited it.
Edited what?
This show.
Is it being edited?
Well, I thought you were suggesting that it might be.
Well, you said avid, which makes me think of the video editing suite is avid.
Avid as crossword puzzle players and Scrabble players know means eager.
It does mean that, and it's backwards. It's diva. So if you have an avid,
isn't that
diva,
curious?
It is curious because divas are eager to have their way.
Yes, indeed. We're eager to continue with something more lighthearted than Sinbad's gloomy adventures.
What happened?
Oh, nothing. I delivered the. Was it the sixth? Yes, I think the sixth voyage of Sinbad. So I'll conclude with the seventh next time, if Allah is willing.
Well, I wasn't able to listen. I'm driving in, and I
that's all
have
right.
All the technological accoutrements
that's
for listening to a show
fine.
While I'm driving.
But glad you're here now. So you... We're traveling, as you so frequently do.
Where was I traveling to?
Well, that was what I was about to ask you.
Oh, I was...
To the Isle of Pingo Pongo.
That was a while back.
That's the kind of place you go to. You did go there, huh?
Well, I was wondering where Sinbad traveled to. I mean, I should have listened in, right?
You know, Serendib, which he visited, I think is the island of Ceylon.
Does Serendib have anything to do with serendipity?
It might be. It's telling that Sinbad never intended to get there. He sort of wandered and found himself there.
Oh,
perhaps this book has a map.
It has a nice cover. It looks like it. Oh, well, it does have a map.
Check out this map here.
Well, it looks like Serendib, just south of Murfili.
It was known as Taprobane. Or Taprobane, however you pronounce it, before it was given its current name of Ceylon. Or rather, this isn't its current name. Now they call it something else. Perhaps you'll tell me what I've momentarily forgotten.
This seems like a vague approximation of the Indonesian archipelago.
Well, that's probably where Sinbad sailed. You know, he sailed down from Baghdad past Bassora, but in the voyage I just related, the captain said, "We are lost. We've been hurled into a sea of perils, which is separate from the rest of the ocean." And pretty soon, yes, they were all destroyed, except, of course, for Sinbad.
The next time I'm in an Indian restaurant, I'm going to order a Malai Komor. And hopefully it'll be like a masala dosa and not like this treacherous-looking island. Yeah, it's just north of Kamrumi.
Well, he had his problems with fish as large as islands, and in the next one, spoiler alert, fish as large as mountains. Also, he had the horrible run-in with the Cyclops, who ate many of his men.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, well, they do that. They're anthropophagy. Huh. They don't like those little humans with two eyes.
It's lucky that he's not doing this in the current age, because his men might file for workers' compensation after being eaten by the Cyclops, and that could be worse than having the men eaten as the legal difficulties.
Well, of course, the law did not protect the merchant seamen. They were considered risk-takers.
Risk-takers.
One could be destroyed or killed by going to sea, but one could also come home a rich person, as Sinbad did.
Well, that was good for him, but what about his men who were eaten?
Well, his men didn't do so well, at least with the Cyclops, and when they escaped, the other Cyclopes came leading the blind one, which they had blinded, and threw huge rocks, which almost killed Sinbad and did kill a large portion of the rest of his men. In fact, maybe all of them.
I thought it was Odysseus who had the confrontation with the Cyclops.
Odysseus and Sinbad, which has caused some to say that this whole incident was put in by French translators. I would say that it is authentic and that this is a story that could be told by more than one culture in more than one way. But the Cyclops had a particularly hideous appearance, as described in Sinbad's account, and had the habit of eating the humans.
Well, that's sort of a deviation from the standard Cyclops story, where the Cyclops is suave and debonair and well-mannered.
He was never that. He was always boasting about his connections, about how he was the son of Poseidon, the Earth Shaker, and so forth.
Oh, really? Okay.
He had giant sheep, which he let out during the day.
So what happens today if you go to a party and you say that you're the son of Poseidon?
Someone would smile and say, "That's nice."
I suppose they would say that's nice, but they don't know how nice it truly is.
Well, then he would be one of the giants who built giant things, giving them the adjective Cyclopean.
Yeah.
And they were the progeny of the Earth Shaker, Poseidon, who was also the god of the oceans. The Atlanteans worshipped Poseidon the most, which is unfortunate because earthquakes and the ocean don't mix.
Well, it didn't mix in the case of Atlantis, but weren't they able to propitiate their deity and prevent that? Evidently
no,
not.
No, it sank.
It sank, but what were they doing wrong?
Perhaps it was their time, or the gods fight among themselves, and as we are so many frogs tormented by wanton boys unto the gods, often our misfortunes follow their shenanigans.
Wanton frogs?
Well, wanton, the famous person who said that, whose name I can't recall, said that the boys are just playing sport, but it isn't sport to the frogs who are getting the stones thrown at them.
Well, you need sportscasters to observe it carefully. And
or stonecasters.
Stonecasters.
It's telling that this wise man had been a former slave, so was able to empathize in the way that the slave masters were rarely able to.
Well, slave masters are not known for their empathy, typically, are they? I mean, the empathic slave master?
Well, the good ones are.
Oh.
I mean, you get a range of people, and even in reprehensible occupations. So one can be a monster or one can be kind.
I see. So there must be a whole little elite of kindly serial killers.
Well, some of them might be more kind than others. Others would prefer to torture you slowly to death. Then there are some that would just chop you with a shovel or something and you'd be through.
Oh, I suppose.
But, of course, we're not speaking of kindness in these latter cases, but in absence of malice or degrees of absence of malice, there's still the malevolent business of, killing you in the first place.
Some people are malicious in absence of their degrees.
Why, yes.
I always wonder if having, greater awareness, if you're more intelligent, if that leads to kindness, or if there really is no correlation between, say, compassion and intelligence.
There is.
there is coordination or correspondence, because it takes a certain amount of intelligence to have empathy at all, to understand that other people have a different way of doing things, and yet to accept and acknowledge this and not be outraged and more aggressive than ever. Well, it sounds so simple, but there are, that's the, you know, what can we say?
We could say a lot of things.
As Stang says, you know, the average man is as dumb as a post, and half of, you know, these are half of the human race who are dumber than that.
So most people are posts, or half posts.
Well, they are post-structuralists, or believe in French nonsense.
Oh. Doesn't it take quite a bit of intelligence to comprehend post-structural French nonsense?
First, more than I've got, because I don't believe it is anything but the type of philosophy which wears everything down and then sneers at the attempt being made. And this was something, by the way, that Socrates used to do, which is why some people thought Socrates was an asshole. Because
no one would have ever called Socrates an asshole.
They called him worse than that. They put him to death as the misleader of young minds and so on. You know, Socrates could not be allowed to stand. But what he would do is he would ingeniously argue both sides of the argument and conclude and make you conclude there was no point in arguing about it at all. He would reduce it to, well, we're helpless. You know, that's not useful in trying to find an answer.
It seems fallacious. Fallacious is what I'm trying to say. Like exercise in fallacy.
But a lot of philosophy, especially the French type that I was describing, is simply to stop other expressions and ideas from being made by suggesting that they all come from venal
vicissitudes.
Like La Rochefoucauld back in the day so entertainingly wrote in his Maxims. Now that I can appreciate. That's very cynical, but very truthful. But this other stuff is a kind of super sophistry that's meant to derail the study of language, the study of culture, and any system of aesthetics.
Isn't there a famous French philosopher named Derail?
Well, I had never heard of him, but then I'm no authority.
Okay, well, there's
Derail. I kind of like Derail as the name.
Yeah, Jacques Derail.
Yes. The third rail of philosophy. You never go there.
That's where I'm hoping to go, and I give it a new name, philosophy. Nice. It's a fallacy. Philosophy is a near cousin to pseudocism. You have pseudocism and philosophy.
Well, you'll have to write these down so they can be remembered.
I've been writing about pseudocism in detail. Pseudocism, in a nutshell, is believing in something that you know is not true.
As if faith can bridge all of that.
Well, it does, until the bridge falls apart. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, or cross the...
Yes, across the Great Divide.
Yeah, with all the posts holding up the bridge.
Then you fall into the chasm and are never seen again.
Well, you're eaten by cyclopses down the chasm.
First of all, they'd have to catch you as you plummeted down.
That's the fun part. It's the evasion of cyclops.
Okay. Ulysses and his men found a giant sheep, and that led them to the cave of the Cyclops. But Sinbad and his men saw a building, and they went to it, and they said, "My, it has large doors." And then they encountered the Cyclops when the Cyclops came in. Ladies and gentlemen, K-Rob is now here. I'm afraid I have to say that this microphone ain't working, and I have to use this one, but that one does work. I don't know about the yeah, that's K-Rob, not a recording, not an archival presentation.
No, that is actually K-Rob, K-Roborating his presence here.
K-Roborating?
Yeah, just put on those earphones and I don't know, do they work? Or you know how things don't work. You know, when you were here the last time and we thought we'd fixed everything, it still didn't work. People got a garbled, horrible version of the show with broken up into little jumps and jumpy bits.
But I think you probably have some listeners that like that kind of...
One of them said on the chatterbox, which I have to restore every time, that yes, this was favored. Liked the jumpy thing, but it wasn't intended.
We want new stuff. No, we don't want the old stuff. We want new stuff.
What is the new stuff?
Well,
the
new stuff is broken, glitchy...
one of these... anonymous names is Broken Microphone. It was just made comment.
So, Broken Microphone is...
And he says, it's a regular party at RV tonight. And in fact, it is.
Coffee keeps you regular.
I wish it did. I hear some meowing. Or
yes, this is the Scat Cat song that was...
Scat
it cat. Has a lot of meows.
I see.
I hear him say scat, scat, scat. I would think that as a catologist you would have known about that particular piece.
There's so much cat lore out there. I don't have a particular purchase on. So this is news to me. I know who Scatman Crothers is, or I believe.
Oh, yeah, I met him.
Oh, you did? You don't
he
sound
came
very happy
to Arizona. Well, he's all right. He's not a... I mean, he... he was fine, but he did lean on the women a lot.
Oh, and did the women lean
some
back on him?
Sniffing.
No, they were brittle and offended, so they tended to be in the 1970s.
Oh, I thought that the 1970s were a swinging, licentious...
They may have started that way, but soon gender feminism came in, and anything any man did was suspect. And, in fact, the theater group that I used of... that I was in, where I was writing plays and things and putting them on, eventually got rid of me and everyone who was a man, and they became kind of a lesbian militant thing, you know.
Did they stage a production of Lisa Strada?
I don't know. I wasn't a member at that time, but they were
maybe
taken over by people who I regretted being in power.
A Valerie Solanas play.
Was it Kill All Men or Fuck All Men or what was her thing?
Society for Cutting Up Men.
That
cutting
was up. Valerie Solanas' organization, Scum, the Society for Cutting Up Men. Well, that was just fun theater.
Yeah, kind of, until she shot Andy Warhol.
Well, yes, that carried it a little bit too far, I think. As if Andy Warhol was oppressing her more than others.
My understanding of it was that she left a manuscript of her play with him, and then he genuinely lost it. He didn't know where it was, and she kept asking for it, and she took offense. She thought that this was a conspiracy against her, that he was doing this intentionally just to insult her, and she developed a bitter grudge, and went strutting in with a...
Well, I thought... Somebody.
I shot Andy Warhol.
I have not seen I Shot Andy Warhol.
That's a pretty good one.
Well, I read an enormous biography of Andy Warhol last year, and it was very interesting, and it dealt with the Valerie Solanas episode at length, as it should. And one of the amazing things was she called up Andy's studio some months later and asked to borrow or just to be given $40,000. And
come on, Andy, you can hook me up.
Somebody says, we loved the Gappy episode, but I didn't love it because when I posted it, the whole thing is like that.
Right.
And I posted it and I left it up just to... to show how
capitalistic.
But I'm going to get rid of it.
There's no way to have a director's cut where it's like this is how it was intended. You know,
okay? Well, for what people at home didn't even hear that.
I think that there should be an extended, uncut director's cut. After
the unkindest cut of all.
The unkindest cut of all, a cut above.
But if you recorded your shows here, you could have that director's cut. But it's like you relegate everything to the Radio Valencia system.
Well, yes,
and
that's
if it's glitchy, then you've lost it forever.
Yeah, that's true. I lost it forever anyway, because I was yakking on thinking it was going out when actually the whole thing was an obdurate lump of junk.
So, is tonight a harmonica night? Is it a special theme?
Well, this is the night of the harmonica convergence.
But, I remember the harmonic convergence. That
but coming up will be the 50th Ask Dr. Hal show, the home edition. It will be on July 5th, X Day, not on the usual day. So, you see, that was my problem with the July 4th party. But I still might be able to come if it's all right to go come later to it.
Are you doing an X-Day thing?
Yes, and Prague is somehow involved. But what we're doing is we're showing all the supplemental material, all the monster movies.
Not the supplemental material.
The monster movies, the cartoons, the special guests, singers, comedians. And then in between, I answer a few questions, and I'm not doing it for money this time. It's all free.
What about the appendices? Are you going to be also displaying the appendices?
I hope not. No, this thing is already in the can. All I have to do is insert myself into it.
Insert yourself into the can.
Into the show, which will be running automatically. But there'll still be an interlocutor. And this reminds me of something else. When I said the word interlocutor,
imponderable.
That reminded me.
Incontrovertibly an interlocutor.
Now, you know, there is a thing going on at the Ocean Room that Scott Kuiper is running way out there on Monterey, near the Balboa Park BART station. And we have an offer to do an Ask Dr. Hal show. And all it would take would be a huge amount of work. But
do you have...
But we could do it. We have me, and we have K-Rob, and now we have an interlocutor. Jet has volunteered to come forward and be the guy who sits there, who asks the questions. He's been to the original show. He won't abuse people like Chicken, but he'll be able to keep it running.
Chicken can't do it, or what?
Chicken supposedly was canceled and cannot show his face in San Francisco, which is why he doesn't.
What does that mean, to be canceled?
It means that if you try to do a show, somebody will stand up and point at you and say, do you realize that this is a racist that you paid to come? You know, all of his wife's employees threatened to quit because of the connection with Chicken, and so she had to fire her husband. You know, all this happened some time ago, and Chicken...
There's not a shelf life on racism.
Yeah, I mean, does anybody care anymore? But it only takes a few people to, you know, to make a big fuss about it. You'd think they had a lot more to think about. So Chicken went up to Ileton and became the mayor of a bunch of bewildered, aged World War II veterans. And he, you know, he's up there. He's got, he cleared off with bulldozers and heavy machinery, stands of bamboo that had been growing there for centuries, and he's put up picnics and...
So he doesn't even live in town? Or
no, he no longer lives in San Francisco. He would have to duck down and put his coat over his head when he left his house. His children had death threats.
Wait a second. Really? I mean, so...
Now, I'm not going to say that word, which I would have to do to say what happened when we're not broadcasting. I can certainly tell the story as uninteresting as it is.
Like a glitch, like porn, like back in the day. It's like, oh, I think you could still see something. You know, it's all glitchy, but there's porn in there.
There's porn in them hills.
In where? In there?
No, like in the... remember like when porn would be all distorted on TV?
Oh, yeah. Those days.
Yeah, it would be remember like, that? I Love Lucy.
And
or,
sometimes it wasn't even that distorted. Sometimes you could see what was going on. But
yeah,
it was,
you could see Mr. Ed and...
No, not Mr. Ed.
Well, he didn't make porn films.
Locally,
Petticoat Junction sure is racy.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's intended.
Beverly Hillbillies certainly did porn behind those gleaming,
it's hard
polished
to keep,
floors.
Hard to keep up. But
polished doors. Yeah.
They were not such a lovable bunch of people, the Clampets.
Well, Ginger and Marianne had a lesbian thing.
Well, that's a different show. That is Gilligan's Island.
That's
but,
the Beverly
Hillbillies were a total ignoramuses before they packed up and moved to Beverly. They didn't know what a helicopter was. They didn't know what an airfield was. See the first episode, which is online, like everything else, and you'll realize these people are being elevated to stardom, and they're utter ignoramuses who would probably vote for Trump.
Nah, I don't think they were that dumb.
I don't know. They're pretty dumb with their talk about the cement pond and so on. Well, anyway, this is a matter to be discussed elsewhere. Let us simply accept the fact that Chicken doesn't wish to come to San Francisco. He was the one who told me that people would stand up and point, and I think that has happened when he tried to do something. They did get death threats to his children.
Well, that's horrible. That seems to outpace whatever the offense was. I mean, I don't really know the details of this, but
he uttered the N word.
He didn't use the H word.
No, it was the N word.
No, I'm not going to say the H word.
Well, don't say the N word. Don't say any word.
N word or the H word. I'm not going to say the W word either.
Well, I especially don't say the K word because
even the music bugs.
Yeah, well, we're teetering on the edge of the abyss here. We don't have an FCC as Mr.
FCC.
John Hill.
We have a KFC, probably not too far from here.
There is one that is not too far from here. It's not KFC. It's called Crispy Chicken. Mm-hmm. It's down by the 24th Street BART station, and they have delicious ice cream and milkshakes as well.
Mm. And thanks for putting in a plug
fried
for the
chicken.
Local fried chicken.
Yes, well, I don't know who's doing it, but it's better than an empty
there used to be a KFC
building.
Right over there.
Yeah, there was, and I could tell you incredible things about that KFC that would beggar belief. Yes.
What sort of,
I? What? This I can tell without.
What about KFD? Do you know about KFD?
Before we get to that, I'll explain what happened to the KFC, which it wasn't called at that time. It was called Kentucky Fried Chicken. They changed it to KFC on a corporate level because of the word fried having become something that people act indignant about. So,
you couldn't see sugar in cereal titles anymore.
Yes, no more sugar pops, sugar snacks, sugar smacks, sugar bear, all those.
How about honey? Honey's nice.
Well, honey grahams, but honey is pure, natural, holistic.
Honey smacks.
Honey smacks. Come here, honey. No, I don't think so. now that's all right. Calm down. Simmer down. Here,
I could give him a little slap.
Smickin', smackin', skin him and a crackin'. This KFC, let's call it for brevity, so we don't have to keep saying Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Cool,
well, it anagrams to FCK.
It was on the corner, or close to the corner, of 22nd Street and Valencia. And I used to come over here before I lived here, and I've lived here for 41 years, something like that. I used to come over to visit Justin Green, the cartoonist. Do you know who that is?
I do not.
Oh, too bad. He was a great cartoonist. He created Binky Brown versus the Holy Virgin Mary, or meets the Holy Virgin Mary, a famous comic book, and others.
Did Binky Brown meet the Holy Virgin Mary before She met Joseph?
No, Binky Brown is a child tormented by guilt, and this is an autobiographical work, which is very funny.
So this was how Justin Green processed his Catholic upbringing?
I was in comics with Justin, and I'm proud to have been. He's no longer among the living, but he was great. Also, I used to paint signs with him professionally. He was a sign painter and could do all kinds of lettering. He had a studio near here, and I would visit it. But he hated the smell of fried